We are ready for the word this morning. Pastor Don's going to be starting out the new year here with sharing a message with us. I know God's put something in his heart, and he's got something for us. All right. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much for your word, Lord God. We know that your word brings life. Lord God, your word is truth. And your word is special and holy, Lord God, and it's something that goes down and it builds us and it strengthens us, Lord God. So we pray that you would just anoint Pastor Don here this morning as he brings forth your word. Bless him as he blesses us, Lord God, and bring forth this word with power, mm-hmm. clarity, Lord God, and touch each one of us, Lord. Help us to grow and to know you better. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. It's a lot of fun. No, okay. Well, I said all that actually to get us into John chapter 11. All right? So hopefully you've got there. We're going to read here. And go to verse 40. And if you're taking notes, if you got a highlighter, this is what you can highlight. This is what you can make note of. All right? Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Did I not tell you if you believed, you would see?" Now, this is the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Bob was actually teaching on our class, so he only got through verse 1 on Thursday. So, you can learn a whole lot. That's exactly right. And, give you an overview of the story. Jesus is in a certain area. He just got run out of Jerusalem. They were going to kill him because it came to the ultimate point. They came out and they asked him. They said, "Tell us plainly if you are the long-awaited Messiah." They had been following him. They had been questioning him. They had been observing him. They had been trying to trick him. As you read through the Gospels, you know all the different stories that they would come and they would try to test him and try him, and and then they would watch him. And they finally asked him the one question, "Are you the Messiah?" And he says, "Yes, I am." And at that point there, boom, it was total warfare. They were going to kill him. Not because he wasn't the Messiah, he was, but because they refused to believe that he was the Messiah. We have that problem today with a lot of people, don't we? It's set out before them. They experience things. They read things. They see things. And you can't help but think there's got to be someone else behind it. But a lot of people's hearts are never moved. So in Lazarus' story here, Jesus is gone. He's on the other side of the Jordan River. It wasn't that far of a distance. And Lazarus' two sisters, Martha and Mary, they send a messenger to Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, the one whom you love is sick." And so Jesus, being full of compassion, what did he do? He stayed right where he was at. You see, it's like traveling with my... You just don't know. You're traveling with Jesus. One minute you're in Dallas, the next minute you're going down to Waco, and you got no idea what you're going to experience. But Jesus remained there in the area that he was at, it says, for two extra days. Now, if you read the account, the word "sick" in that context meant it was a sickness unto death. All right? So they know that their brother, he's fading fast. You ever have somebody that's fading fast in the hospital and you just know, I got to get to him? I got to speak to him? I know my wife, who was it this week that... There was somebody in the hospital, and they were your aunt. And Laura couldn't get over there to speak with her. But thank God, many of you remember Monty Thacker, right? Monty is an interpreter over there at Beaumont. So Laura called Monty and said, "Listen, could you go up there and talk to him?" Now, unlike Jesus, Monty said, "Yes, I'll get right up there," and went right up there and prayed with her. But you could imagine my wife's reaction if Monty said, "I'll get over there in a couple days." "Yeah, but she might die tonight." "Nah, I'll get over there in a couple days." And that was almost, you know, that was the reaction of Jesus. Like, why don't you just hurry and get over there and heal him? Because Jesus was going to allow him to die so that he could show the glory of God. You know, a lot of times there's things in your life that got to die, don't they? There are things that got to die. As we look back in last year, and that's why I was hoping I'd have my pictures there, because I wanted to show you a lot of things that God had done in this church. And though the pictures would have been a nice illustration, let me just tell you some of the things. These things in the physical realm first, you know, like a new roof, new porch out here, new parking lot, new classroom, fellowship hall redone, new freezer, new lights. I mean, the lights are bright, aren't they? You know, I mean, there was all these things, heavy new stuff up in the sound booth up there, all these things, and there was a cost, but thank God over the years, Pastor John had been such a good steward, we were able to save up money, able to address these things, and there's still things we wanted to do. We had windows put in upstairs above the kitchen area. How many times you come in the morning and you didn't know if a squirrel was going to come down that window, a bird? All right, I went up there one time, there was a raccoon up there in a cage. Ray, remember that? I looked at that and I don't want to touch it. We had a trap up there, and Pastor John had sit up there for squirrels and caught a raccoon. So if Ray and I took it out in the woods, came out of that thing, looked like it was about 50 pounds, man. Me and Ray are like climbing up the tree. We don't want to get attacked by the thing. But those were different things. There was water that got in and a couple of the classrooms downstairs. So these are things, you know, when you got a house, they become all kind of like a money pit at point at a time. Or if you were in here when it was raining, you know, we sing that song, you know, Lord, let your rain down on us. Well, it rained down on us, didn't it? Poor Roger, you know, bald Roger sitting over here. And, you know, I'm watching him during praise and worship. He drip, shh, drip, shh. You know, that water hitting him in the head. And he's like looking around like, what the heck is going on? And this corner was real bad, wasn't it, Pastor John? So those were things last year. But, you know, we get to the new year and we want to take inventory of those things that we have to die to. You know, maybe some of the things we have to die to is maybe I need to die to myself a little bit more when it comes to prayer. Maybe I need to die to myself a little bit more when it comes to fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters. Maybe I need to die to myself a little bit more when it comes to maybe coming in early and enjoying the class. By the way, Ray did a great job this morning. He'll be doing part two next week. Amen. All these different things as we go into the new year. And as we go back to that story of Lazarus, Jesus knew what he was doing. But he's trying to teach us something. What he's trying to teach us, there's something you got to allow to die that my glory can be manifested in a brand new, incredible way. I know for myself, as I started off the new year, I was like, God, I want to die to a lot of these things. I want to be like Lazarus, you know, whatever's sick, whatever needs to die, so that there can be a resurrection of something new, something of new life. I said, God, I want to make a commitment even more in the Word, more in the prayer, more seeing my brothers and sisters. All these different things as I go into the new year. And so in our story here, we get to the point where Jesus shows up 4 days later and Lazarus is already dead. They had buried him. And the sisters are kind of beside themselves, you know, and here comes Jesus. And the place he was staying was only about a half a day walk. It wasn't that far. What do you think might have been going through the minds of those two women? They were good friends. They were personal friends with Jesus. I don't know what the relationship is. You know, we're really not told that. But we're told, we see them a couple times throughout the Scriptures. We know Martha and Mary. You know, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Martha was out busy cleaning house. Had that Esther anointing, you know. And Jesus shows up and they're all, you know, sitting there talking and having a good old time. But here we see that they send this very urgent message. And it gets to Jesus, and he remains where he's at. How many of you know Jesus knew what was going to happen before that messenger even got there? Amen? He's not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's, you know, he said that all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto him. He knows all. That's what Peter said. He said, Lord, you know all things. And he knew what was going to happen. It was part of God's plan. But to the disciples, what an object lesson for them, that you can't trust sometimes on the outward circumstances. Amen. You've got to trust God where you're at and where he directs you. So we get here. Let me go back just to the open to the first part of the verse. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this message in half and then come back and hopefully we'll get the computer working right. But when Bob was speaking about this on Thursday, it just was burning in my spirit. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. And I love looking up and finding out what the names of these people mean. You know what the name Lazarus means? It means God will help. Don't you like that? God will help. We're all a Lazarus to a certain degree, aren't we? What is it in your life this year that you really want God to help you with? Family relationship? Maybe a job? New home? Maybe you don't know Christ? That's the place to start. Whatever it is, God is there to help. What was it? He'll never leave you. Ray, I know somebody mentioned today, he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Ray's class, like that shepherd, he's what? Always there by your side. And we're told that he was sick, and he lived in this town, Bethany, which, if you know where it's at, it's on the Mount of Olives, which was a very important location. And it means house of affliction, house of ripe figs. And there's great significance behind all that. But they get the word to Jesus. Go down to verse 4 in chapter 11. It says, when they heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus, what? Loved Martha and her sisters, and Lazarus. So you see, there was an incredible relationship. Do we read that anywhere else in the Scripture that Jesus loved someone? Well, a few occasions. You know, John, who wrote the book of John, referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had an understanding, he had a revelation of the love of God. But here, we're not told that Martha and Mary and Lazarus had that revelation. We're just told through the Spirit of God that Christ loved them. And maybe you're here today and you don't know if God loves you. I'm here to tell you that God loves you. Just like Lazarus, he sees the condition you're in. He knows what you're going through. And you may think that he's abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you. He's that shepherd there walking you, and he's taking you through a point, through a place where your reliance is going to be upon him more and more. The sickness will not end in death, notice, for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. His disciples protested, but Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you want to go back? I mean, we're talking just a few days. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, nor he sees by the world's light. For it is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. Why did Jesus say that? He was basically saying, listen, there's God's light shining in this particular situation. We're going to walk in it. Okay? You've got to be able to see. We want to see those things, don't we? We want to be able to see prophetically, but sometimes it's hard to trust them. It's hard to believe so that we can see his glory, as he tells them later on. And after he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. Wasn't always Jesus having to correct them in the way they thought? Good thing he never has to correct us in the way we think. All right, let's see here. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas called Didymus said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. They knew what was awaiting Jesus back in that area. If he went back, there were many enemies and they were going to kill him. They were plotting to take his life. And it was going to be just a short time after him going back that he was going to be crucified. Now, I don't know about you, but if I knew people in a certain place were waiting there to kill me, I don't think I'd be going back real quick. I think I'd go a whole different route. But you see, when he was being led by the Spirit into the very situation that God had wanted him to go. Let's continue. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in their loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And if you remember, Martha was the one who was more forward, wasn't she? Lord, tell Mary to help me. I'm here, you know, I'm cleaning house. I need some help. But she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. But when she heard that Jesus was near, she ran out to see him. Let's see what she says. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She had great faith, didn't she? But she thought that that thing was now what? Completely over and shut. And that's why I said there's things that we have to die to going into this new year. Because God wants to do a whole new work in each and every one of our lives. He wants to do a new work in the church. He wants to do a new work in the community. And we have to believe, I even know now whatever he asks us, he will give. My problem is I'm impatient. I want it now. Okay? But his timing is what? Always perfect. So Martha goes out. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Now they're going to play a little bit of a religious game. The Jews believed in a bodily resurrection. They believed in a resurrection from the dead. And that's what Martha is thinking about. But Jesus got a whole different idea. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So there's this theological kind of debate. Jesus telling her he's the resurrection. And if you believe in him, you'll never die. And if you're alive now, you'll never die. He didn't mean physical death. He was speaking spiritually that you were never going to be separated from the presence of God. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. She had great faith. She knew who he was. She's confessing him as the Messiah. And after this, she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. That's what Jesus, he didn't go into the house. He just kind of sat out there and was going to let her come out to him. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. You got to love that. She's always at the feet of Jesus. Whether it's sitting there listening to what he has to say or falling at his feet, worshiping him and trusting him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And we're going to end on verse 35. Jesus wept. And I read all this, and bring all this up. I'm going to come back next week and share the second half of the story, because it seems like everything is hopeless at this point, doesn't it? And I wanted to use that to set the stage that as we go into 2019, there are those things, as I said, that God says got to die so something new can be resurrected. Something can be, God can be glorified in it. And it might be an area, it might be someplace that God is taking you in a whole new realm. Some of you young people, God is going to open a door for you for ministry. You've been calling out to God, God, use me. Here I am. Some of you, other people, you just never know how God is going to use you. I was thinking of Linda Dupe. When her mother passed away, we went over to the funeral home, and Linda told her mother, I'm going to do the funeral for you. And Linda got up there, did an incredible job. You ever do a funeral before, Linda? All right, so Linda is experienced now at doing funerals. So if you need, you can't get a hold of me and Pastor John, call Linda. But I couldn't tell you how proud we were. I mean, to stand up there and do that for her mother, how hard that is, and did an incredible job and shared, you know, the faith. And so when we come back next week, we're going to look at, from that point on, Jesus wept, and use that as an analogy of going forward and God revealing. But I want you to think of that scripture where he says, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God. Are you ready to believe for this year? Are you ready to see God use you in a whole new way? I don't know about you, and I can't answer for you, but I'm going to answer for myself. I want to see him use me in a whole new way. Amen? If I can have the prayer team come forward. Those are up here. And there may be some of you, young people up here praying. You ready to pray? We'll wait for the old couple. You want the young couple here, the old couple over there. Young in spirit. That's right. Yeah, well, I guess. All right. And middle age will be me. No, I'm in the middle here. I'd have Bob up here. That's for the real old. Yeah, help him up. Yeah. Huh? Oh, it was up. Well, we'll get back to it. Listen, we're not going anymore. So, like I said, I want you to think about Lazarus this upcoming week. What was he sick? We're not told what he was sick with. God leaves that open because it can apply to us. We can be sick with so many spiritual things. Though you're physically healthy, there's spiritual things that you know have got to die. And when we get back, as I said, we're going to see how Jesus takes care of it. He remained there. He had a plan. He had a purpose. And if you trust God, even in the midst where it's, as Ray said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And if you read the rest of that psalm about him anointing your head with oil, my cup overflowing. But see, you got to go through that dark valley a lot of times in order to get to the grass plateau where the shepherd is going to feed you, where he's going to comfort you, where he's going to water you, where he's going to anoint you, where he's going to look out, and where you're going to get rest and peace. So let's close in prayer, and hopefully I'm going to work on that PowerPoint. We're going to get back to that, Pastor John. But it's like, you know what, sometimes, I thought I was going into Macedonia, and I end up in Melvindale without my PowerPoint. All right. The four strings, there you go. There you go. I thought maybe it might have been Eddie's four videos from last week, but. All right, let's close in prayer. And if you need prayer, please come forward. We invite you, stick around, fellowship with someone. Come on up to the fellowship hall, sit in chit-chat, and be ready for next week as we come back. Amen? Amen. Father, we give you thanks. And Father, we thank you for the praise and worship. We thank you for another year that we were able to enjoy as brothers and sisters, as a local body. And Lord, we're not some big super mega church, but Lord, we're a small body. But the body is made up of small cells. And each one of those cells is very, very important. And Lord, I pray right now that as we go forward this week, that we would take your word, that we would reread it, that we look at Lazarus. Lord, that we would look at Martha and Mary. And Lord, that we would fall at your feet and that we would trust you, knowing that you're able to do whatever you want. Lord, move in every situation that the people here might have. Touch hearts, touch situations. Lord, that you would and you only would be glorified. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see you guys next week. Coffee and donuts upstairs. Greater things in store, we will not